good to see each and every one of you here tonight. Welcome back. I hope each and every one of you got a nice little Baptist nap. I got about 10 minutes. That's about as far as I got today. So, huh? Oh, I thought you said, I'm sorry. So I'm going to ask you to do one thing today. I want you to take up our chorus books and turn to page 21. Heaven is a wonderful place. And then pick up your blue hymnal and turn to page 809 and turn to 8 to Until Then. And right after we sing 21, we're going to go segue right into Until Then. So, good to have you guys. Nice to see you. 809. So it's 21 in the chorus book and then 809 in the blue book. So just put your finger in 809. All right.
Sing it again.
Heaven is a wonderful place. destined for the skies, glory bound. Man, I love that verse. Brother Jim Bush, would you please open our service with a word of prayer this evening?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the night. Lord, we thank you for the safety and your Lord. Lord, we just praise your name, Lord, and Lord, just could you be uplifted tonight, Lord, and Lord, may we feel the Spirit, Lord, going through this place, Lord, and Lord, we just pray, Lord, to you to pass the words to say, Lord, and Lord, just let us all have ears to hear, Lord, and let us take what we learned here, take it outside to the lost world. And Lord, just let us lead some soul to Christ today, Lord. Lord, we thank you for these things now. Give us safety as we leave, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Please remain standing. Turn to 685. You know, we're being released and we're going to soar in the skies. Well, we're going to our mansion, amen. So I figured let's sing about our destiny. 685. Now you know this song, so let me hear you sing it out to give God the glory to sing. Amen and amen. Good to be in church tonight. Amen. So just announcements for those that weren't here this morning. The first thing I want to mention is if any men can stay back to help tonight after the service, I need some help bringing up that big gigantic ladder downstairs. We're going to try to do an experiment with these lights to see if we can get it brighter in here with some light fixtures that Brother Sam was able to purchase. Try to switch it over to LED to see if it'll make it brighter, especially with the winter time coming in. So I just need like 3 or 4 men to help out trying to get that ladder up here after the service. Lord willing, this week, on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we'll have a revival services with Pastor Tim Krotz. So Friday night at 7, Saturday at 6 o'clock, and then Sunday will be normal, but we'll have a potluck dinner afterwards after the morning service. So that's coming this week. Looking forward to that. Lord willing, public outreach Thursday, 5:45 to 6:45. There's some new calendars that we were able to get, so if you haven't got one yet, please grab one. And then the final brief class that we're conducting will be done on November 9th, that Tuesday. I know I said earlier November 2nd, but we're going to switch over to November 9th because of the voting that's going to take place on the 2nd. So that's all that announcements I have.
Our last song is going to be 187, Amazing Grace. I'd ask you all, please, to stand with me. 187.
Now we're going to do something a little different here. We have a special this evening. We didn't practice it all that much, but you know, it doesn't matter if it's not particularly perfect. What matters is that we're giving God the glory, amen? So I'm going to ask my wife, and I'm going to ask Brian to come up here. What we're going to do, and you please turn with us, turn to your Bibles to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Psalm 19. What we're going to do is we're going to sing a few verses of the Psalms to you. Now, the first verse is Psalm verse number 7. That's our first verse. The chorus is verse 10. Then we will go to verse 8 and sing the chorus again, verse 10. And then 9, and then back down to verse 10. And for the refrain, then we will sing verse number 11. Now, those of you who know it, please sing along with us. Those of you who've never done it, it's a simple song to learn. So just follow along with us. And what we're going to do it a second time, and when we do it the second time, everybody just join in, sing. All right? Let's give God the praise on this. It's a real difficult song. So, hey, let's all stand. Let's all sing it together. Verse 7 and down to 10.
So I went back home this morning thinking about what I said and what I preached this morning. And I believe the Lord would have me go a little bit further on what I was talking about this morning and look at it in this light. Because to me, this is one of the most, I would say, close to one of the top or most important messages I've preached. Because I think it deals with the heart of the issue, and I think that's what God looks at. I think today, a lot of Christians put a lot of what they believe on what they feel. A lot of individuals go off of how they feel, and if they feel good or if a tear is shed, they feel as if God's moving. And then if nothing's happening, then God must be silent and God must not be doing anything. So I kind of want to look at some scriptures this evening, kind of piggybacking on what I kind of talked about this morning, and hopefully it'll be a help. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening, Lord. I thank you for these precious brethren. Thank you for these wonderful songs, Lord. Thank you for our voices. Dear God, it was beautiful singing tonight, dear God, and I thank you for it, Lord. And thank you for hymn writers like John Newton and Franny Crosby and others, Lord, who took time to write these hymns that we have in these books, dear God. Lord, thank you for it, Lord. And thank you again for this night, Lord, just the opportunity to open up a Bible. Lord, I pray you lead and guide and direct my lips, Lord. Help me to say exactly what you'd have me to say, no more, no less, dear God. And Lord, help us to draw closer to you in these last dark days that we're living in. We just pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, I'd like you to take your Bible and look over at 2 Corinthians chapter number 7 and verse number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 1. Paul writing to the church here at Corinth in his second letter, and he says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 7 and verse number 1 to the church there, to the brethren, he says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved. Now we're not going to go into all those promises tonight. It would take longer than one service to look at the promises that God has given to us. But needless to say, Paul says here in chapter 7, he says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, he goes on next to say, let us cleanse ourselves. Let us cleanse ourselves. You see, in this Christian walk, a Christian can get dirty. I'm not talking about physical dirt on our clothes or on our face or in our hair. I'm talking about a dirtiness or a filthiness about us because of ungodly things we may associate ourselves with. And Paul addresses a church here and he says, brethren, you have these promises, you're beloved. Then he says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of two things. He says, filthiness of the flesh, which be sins that you can commit in your flesh. Okay, there's sins that a Christian can commit in his flesh. One of them would be for a Christian to go out tonight and just get just drunk. That is a sin in his flesh, and Paul says it can be done. And Paul says, listen, if that's one of your issues that you're struggling with, that you're caving into, he says, cleanse yourself from the filthiness of the flesh. And then he says something very interesting after that. He says, and the filthiness of the spirit. For what purpose, Paul? For the latter part of what he says, for the purpose of perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You see, one thing that the church is missing today, and you hardly ever hear it in any sermons, and a lot of Christians don't want to talk about it, but there is a proper fear of God as a saved individual. Now, I don't walk around my daily life with the Lord just waiting for him to smack me and knock me down. I serve a good God. I serve a loving God. I serve a long-suffering, merciful, and gracious God because I'm still standing here today. Brethren, there's things that I've done in my life since I've been saved that has given God ample and right opportunities to say, you're done with and you're out of here. That's just me. I know for the last 20-some years I've been saved, I have a hard time understanding why God hasn't done that. Because I know better since I've been saved. Yet there's times in my Christian walk I willfully and rebel against what I know God says is right. So the Bible says here, Paul tells the church, he says, listen, dearly beloved, you have these precious promises. He says, let us cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and spirit. For what purpose, Paul? To perfect, or perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You see, I'm going to talk a little bit this evening. This is not an exhaustive study. This is a study that's been put together quite quickly. But there's a couple of points that I want to point out about true worship and praise to God. True worship and true praise to God. You see, true worship and praise is not a matter of how loud you can sing. You can sing loud to where this roof falls off, but doesn't mean God's nowhere. That doesn't mean anything with God. True worship and praise is not a matter of how loud you can sing or how musically talented you may be. It's not about how well you may harmonize or be on key. True worship is not about clapping hands. True worship and praise is not about shouting. And true worship and praise is not about lifting up your hands or dancing before God. That is not true worship and praise. Now, do you do some of those things when you're praising God and God's in it? Yes, absolutely. But that is not what it's about. Because all those things that I mentioned, you can do without God. You can shout without God. Look, I've been in some camp meetings before where some people got started shouting, and I looked at my wife and said, that's not of God. That ain't of God. There's something evil in that thing. And this is in a camp meeting. Brethren, what I'm talking about and what I looked at this morning, listen, there's times, I don't know if any of you have ever preached or taught before, there's times where you preach and you teach and you got liberty, and I don't know how to explain it as a preacher and a pastor. There's times I step behind this pulpit and there's liberty. Like God, there's liberty. And then there's other times where I've stepped behind a pulpit and met multitudes of churches, and as soon as I step, I say, oh, this thing is like going to be preaching to a wall tonight. There's not liberty. For whatever reason, there's something there that is hindering the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I don't know what it is as a preacher through the years or as a pastor now. So I'm not talking about this evening when it comes to worship and praising God because, well, the preacher's saying, well, I'm not singing loud enough. Or the preacher's saying that he wants me to raise my hands. Or the preacher says that he wants me to shout amen. No, the preacher's not saying that. The preacher's saying that I want us to worship in true holiness and godliness. You see, true worship and praise starts right here. Right in the heart. And we're going to see that tonight. You see, true worship and praise is a matter of humility, sacrifice, and the heart. Worship and praise is spiritual. When we come to sing tonight, I thank you for the singing tonight. It blessed my soul. When we come together to sing, it's not a physical song, even though it is, because we're using our physical voices, but it's done spiritually. It's a spiritual lifting up of praise to God. And that begins within the spirit, which should be born again of God. Take your Bible and look at John chapter 4, verse 23. The book of John in chapter 4 and verse number 23. John 4, 23. Jesus witnessing and talking to this woman at the well in Samaria, and the latter part of his conversation with her before she goes away is found in John chapter 4 and verse 23. Look at what he says to her. John chapter 4 and verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. So the Father seeks those to worship him. And how does he want them to worship him? He wants them to worship them in him in spirit and in truth. Because look at verse 24. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If you can't just merely come to church, especially if you're lost, your worship goes as far as the ceiling. Because God can only be worshiped in spirit and in truth and by someone who is truly born again of God. Number two, just because one has the... Brethren, understand, we're going to look at something here in Samuel. Just because one has the right God, the right Bible, and can shout does not mean that God is anywhere near their presence, battle, or worship. Look at the Bible. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse number 1. 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse number 1 is a good old camp meeting. 1 Samuel chapter 4, the only problem is God's nowhere in sight. 1 Samuel chapter 4, and look at verse number 1. The children of Israel are going out to fight against the Philistines, but they got a problem. God's got an issue with their priests. You see, Eli and his sons Hophni and Phinehas had been disgraceful and wicked before God. You want to know how bad it got with God's, for lack of better words, church in the Old Testament? Is that his high priest, his preachers, the main preacher and the preacher's sons were sleeping with women outside the front doors of the church. They were robbing God from his offerings and his sacrifices. They were robbing God, and God got on Eli and said, listen, you ain't done right by your sons. So they have to go out to battle now. The problem is when they go out to battle, God's not there. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 1, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel, and when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. So the Israelites and the Philistines are fighting, and 4,000 men die from the Israelites. Israelites, uh-oh, we got a problem here. Look at verse 3. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. You see, they ran into a problem right there. What are they looking to save them? They're looking at the ark to save them rather than to God to save them. They're placing their focus on a physical object, thinking if I have this physical object, I'll be saved and God will meet with me. How many Christians are that way today? They'll take a Bible and they'll put it in their dashboard or something like that. Think, well, if I got a Bible there, nothing bad's going to happen to me. They look at the Bible as some good luck charm that if they keep it close to them, nothing bad will happen to them. The Bible is not a good luck charm. The Ark of the Covenant was not a good luck charm. But that's how the children of Israel began to look at it. And they say, well, we bring the ark in, God's going to be with us. Verse 5. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout so that the earth rang again. Listen, these armies, the army of Israel, they said, we need an ark of the covenant. They go out there, they get it, and they bring it in. All of a sudden, the army, they get so loud that the earth begins to ring. They're so loud with shouting, amen, glory to God, we have the Ark of the Covenant here. God will now fight for us. Not what they say, but that's what they think in their mind. Look at verse number 6. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the Ark of the Lord was come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God is come into the camp. And they said, woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell 30,000 footmen. So you have 34,000 men in 2 days gone. You want to talk about something that's taken lives out. Can you imagine if all of a sudden we got word through CNN or Fox or whatever that 34,000 of our soldiers died the last 2 days? This country would be in a fit. 34,000 people of God die because they thought they could go to the battle without God. You know why a lot of individuals are struggling with mind issues and things? Because they're going to battle without God. They're going to battle without God. So not only did they lose 34,000 men, The Bible says in chapter 4, verse 11, and the ark of God was taken as well, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. It's a bad day for the nation of Israel. Not only did they lose 34,000 men, they also lost the Ark of the Covenant, but no worries, God can take care of his ark. If you read the story, he gets it back for him. So you see, just because you have shouting, just because you have a loudness in the camp, does not mean that necessarily God is in it. You see, true worship and praise requires sacrifice. It's a sacrifice to praise God. It's a sacrifice to worship God. Take your Bible, look at Genesis chapter 22 and verse number 5. If I'm not mistaken, I think this is the first mention of worship in the Bible. I could be wrong in that, but I think this may be the first mention of worship in the Bible. Genesis 22, verse 5. Look what the Bible says here. This is dealing with Abraham and Isaac when he goes to offer him. Look what Genesis chapter 22, verse 5 says. Genesis 22, 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Abraham was going to worship God, and God was asking him to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. Take your Bible, flip over to Psalm 69 and verse number 30. Worship requires sacrifice. Psalm 69, 30 and 34. Psalm 69, 30 through 34. The Bible says here in verse number 30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns or hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. For God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. Take your Bible, look over at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. You know, thinking this afternoon, I thought, like what I said this morning, is what do we desire? What do we desire when we come to church? You know, I didn't like going to church when I was younger. I despise, when I was younger, my parents used to drag me to church. Oh, I couldn't stand it. Oh, I didn't like it. I did not like going to church when I was a little kid. I couldn't wait to get out. I couldn't wait to go do what I wanted to go do because I really didn't want nothing to do with it. I didn't like it. Especially the older I got, I did not want to go to church. So when I joined the Air Force, I was like, I am out of here. I don't want nothing to do with God right now. I just want to do my own thing. You know what? Because what church always appeared to me to be is a bunch of rules and regulations of do this, do this, don't do that, don't do that. And I didn't realize till I was older that the true church is not about rules and regulations. It's about relationship. You know why I come to church tonight? Because of a relationship I have with Jesus Christ. Brethren, I wouldn't be in church tonight if it was just a bunch of rules and regulations that you're wanting me to follow, that some man was saying behind a pulpit saying, you need to do this, you need to do that, and I'm out of here, I'm going to go do my own thing. I'm here tonight as a preacher and as a brother in Christ because I got a relationship with someone, and his name is Jesus Christ. When I was 22 years old, Jesus Christ came across my path, and he opened my eyes to the truth, and he changed me, and I ain't never been the same since. And I don't know how else to explain it. He made me a new creature in him. You see, old things passed away, all things become new, and I can't explain it. I'm not what I used to be, though I'm still in the same body, but something's changed on the inside that I didn't have before I was 22 years old. God made me a new creature in him, and my desire now is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but to serve him with proper sacrifices in what he desires. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says this. Again, Paul talking to the church. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, God desires, after you're saved, for you not to be conformed to this world. You see, when you're conformed to this world, it will drive your mind crazy. You tell me today what hope there is out there after service. Please tell me something out there that's worth living for me to deny what I have in Jesus Christ. Is it to go to the bar? Been there, done that. Is it to get drunk? Been there, done that. Is it to take some type of drugs to get me high? I know others who have been there and done that, and they were quite miserable. My brother was a heroin addict, and he'll tell you right now he wouldn't touch it again with, hopefully he doesn't touch it again, but he is in complete misery as a heroin addict. He'll tell you that right now. So is it heroin? Is it fentanyl? What can this world give me that will satisfy me, that will take away my guilt and give me happiness, that doesn't leave me or forsake me? I know of no thing. You say, well, preacher, you would be happy if you had $2 million. No, actually, you'd probably be quite miserable. George Whitaker, has anybody ever heard of him before? He won the lottery, and he was in West Virginia. And before he won the lottery, he was already a millionaire by the construction business he had. I believe his name was George Whitaker. He was in West Virginia. This was about 10, 15 years ago. He won the lottery. And I forget how many millions of dollars he won, but he said later on that if he would have that lottery ticket today, he would have ripped it up and never cashed it in. You see, he ended up getting caught up in clubs that were ungodly, to where his wife left him after 30 or 40 years of marriage. He was given so much money to his daughter, his granddaughter. He was given so much money to his granddaughter that as she would drive down the street in her brand new car, $100 bills and $20 bills would fly out the window. That's how much money she had. They ended up finding her behind a dumpster. Somebody killed her, raped her, and she died because she had a drug addiction, his granddaughter. His daughter also died because of a drug addiction. He said, I would never cash that lottery ticket again. It's brought me nothing but misery and heartache. So is it money that brings you happiness? No. There is nothing in this life that you can come to tell me after service that will bring me joy, happiness, and peace and will never let me down outside of Jesus Christ. There is, brethren, I don't know how to explain it, but this there's something about this Bible, there's something about a relationship with Jesus Christ that can take a poor lost sinner and lift him from the miry clay and set him free. There's some of you in here tonight that had an addiction to alcohol, and when you got saved, God took it from you. Explain that to me. There's some individuals who got saved that had drug addictions, and the moment they got saved, God delivered them from it. I remember a preacher saying one time about this little boy. He came in one time and he said, somebody was mocking the things of God, and they said, well, please don't tell my daddy. Please don't tell my daddy. Please don't tell these things to my daddy, because he says, ever since my daddy got saved, he stopped beating me. One of the reasons that the church has lost some of its power is because we've failed in our true sacrifices to God. And we let coldness and we've let complacency creep in. There was a time where people got born again of God and the community knew it, that something changed in an individual's life and they were not what they used to be and they didn't go do the same things that they used to do because a change had taken place in their life. True worship requires humility. Genesis 24:26, and the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. Genesis 24:48 says, and I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord. Genesis 24:52 says, and it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard the words, he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Exodus 4:31 says, and the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. You see, true worship requires humility. True worship and praise can be hindered and suppressed by sin and pride. 1 Samuel 15:24-25 says that Saul could not worship the Lord until his sin was pardoned. Psalm 68:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, which is sin, which is wickedness, if I regard wickedness or sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Proverbs 15:8 says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. When we exhibit pride in or through our worship, the Lord will not hear us. There are many today who take pride in the way they worship. And in this worship, they believe that if others aren't doing like them, then they are wrong. This is the farthest thing from the truth and proceeds from a prideful heart. You see, as we worship God, it's not about what others do around us. It's about our attitude towards God as we worship. The worship of God, true worship, proceeds from a proper fear of God. Psalm 5:7 says, but as for me, I will come into the house of in the multitude of thy mercies, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, fear before him all the earth. True worship proceeds from holiness, the beauty of holiness. True worship cannot be done in the flesh. Take your Bible, look at Philippians 3:3. True worship cannot be done in the flesh. It's a spiritual sacrifice. It's a spiritual act of worship. Philippians 3:3. Paul says here to the church, he says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Lastly, true worship and praise will happen through all eternity. I'll close with these verses, Revelation 4. True worship will happen throughout all eternity. Revelation 4. And verse number 8. Revelation 4:8. Revelation 4:8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them. And they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Notice that these four beasts that worship God do not say, loving, 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 Lord God Almighty. They don't say, merciful, 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 or gracious, 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 Lord God Almighty. They say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Brethren, and individuals that are visitors that are here this evening, one thing I know and I believe is that this is not it. The book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the latter part of those verses there, Paul talks about body, soul, and spirit. Everyone in this room in here tonight is made up of body, soul, and spirit. At some point in your life, at some point, unless the Lord comes home, unless the Lord calls us home through the way of the rapture, if things go on as they are, all of us at some point are going to take our last breath and then cross over. It's inevitable. There's nobody here today or in Catasauqua or in Pennsylvania or the United States of America or in this world today, in this very moment, that at some point is not going to take their last breath and then cross over into eternity. I don't believe that when we take that last breath, we merely go into the grave and that is it, and we no longer exist. We no longer have any thoughts. We no longer have any being whatsoever. I believe that when that body goes into that grave, that spirit, if it's saved, is absent from the body and present with the Lord. But the sad thing is this, though. Every funeral that I have been to, and I've been to a lot of funerals in the last 5 or 6 years, I've been to funerals of gang leaders to where they're in the church and they're saying he was a good boy, he loved God, and he played the drums in the church when he was 11 years old, but he's in the grave because he got in a gunfight over some drugs and a lifestyle that he was living. And yet when his grandma gets up there and talks, or his mama gets up there and talk, or his preacher gets up there and talk, he's in heaven. I ain't been to one funeral yet to where somebody gets up and says, you know what? They're in hell right now. They're in hell. I'm sorry to say, but they're in hell. They told me to tell you that before they passed off the scene when I was in the hospital bed, to tell them, when you're at my funeral, I want you to tell everybody that I went to hell. There ain't not one funeral that I've ever been to. Everybody goes to heaven. Everybody goes to heaven. Everybody goes to euphoria, to utopia, or whatever's out there, because that's what we want to believe. Yeah. Brethren, there's a real hell. Amen. Preachers don't preach on hell no more, but there's a real hell. You die without Christ, and this is not a fear message tonight, but it's the truth. If you die without Jesus Christ and being born again of God, there's a hell. Just as there's a heaven. That's Bible. Luke chapter 16. The rich man went to hell. Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom there in paradise. And then later on, he's now up in heaven. Worshiping God. You see, God's created us. Why? You say, why am I here today? Why did God create me? I didn't ask to be brought in this world. I didn't ask for all these troubles. Why did God create me and make me? He created you and made you so that you would bring him pleasure and glorify, honor, and praise him through all of eternity. You see, I don't think a lot of people want to go to heaven. Think about this now for a second. What do those creatures cry out unto God? Holy, holy, holy. There's a lot of people that are Christians, they ain't want to go to no church. Don't want to go to heaven. Because heaven's holiness. If you don't desire holiness here, you're definitely not going to want it over there. We worship God in the beauty of holiness. What's holiness, preacher? Get in your Bible and read. What does God say is holiness? Because that is what God takes pleasure in. He takes pleasure in holiness. Do you desire for everything to be right someday? Everything to be perfect someday? To have a righteous judge and holiness and goodness and mercy and grace? I desire that. I'm ready to get out of here, brethren. You can have this world. You can have all this world has to offer. I don't want a dime of it. I don't want nothing to do with this world no more. There's nothing that you can show me in this world that you could tempt me to say, okay, you can have this and then reject Christ. Absolutely not. I've been to some of the fanciest hotels in the world over there in the Middle East. I've been to some hotels that will blow your mind away, that were a castle and had a moat around them. When I was with the Secretary of Defense and we went over there to some places over in Oman and Yemen and some of those Middle Eastern countries, they got so much money, they don't know what to do with it. And some of these hotels I walked in at, my eyes were as big as saucers thinking, look at this place. But I got a mansion over in heaven. Amen. You see, you can keep all your fancy and sparkly things down here on this planet because unfortunately it's going to fade away. It's going to fade away, brethren. I got something tonight that'll never fade away. I got a peace. Look, when I go home tonight, unless I have indigestion, I'm going to sleep good. You understand? I know if I put my head in a pillow and a giant meteor crashes through my house, I know where I'm going. I'm going home to be with Jesus. I have peace. My guilt has been taken away. I have a settledness in my mind that God has cleansed and made whole through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not worried tonight about the conspiracy theories. I'm not worried tonight about COVID. I'm not worried tonight about who's president. I'm not worried tonight about the immigrants coming across the border in the South. I have a peace with God. I know what my Bible says. The Word of God says it's going to get bad, but take comfort in that you know Jesus Christ and that He's coming back someday. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, comfort yourselves with these words. I have comfort because I got a Savior. Do you know Him? Preacher Lockridge, an old black preacher. He's like, that's my king. If you've never heard it before, go home tonight and look on YouTube and look up S.M. Lockridge, old black preacher. Oh, I love him to death. He says, that's my king. Oh, it gives me goosebumps right now just talking about it. When I listen to it, every time I listen to it, it gives me goosebumps. That's my king. I got a king. I got a king tonight, and he's greater than Satan. He is greater than Satan. I got a real king that I'm going to see someday. I got hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, with the limited time that he's given me left to live on this planet, let me worship him in true beauty and holiness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity tonight. Lord, I thank you, dear God, for your precious word. Lord, I pray you'd help us, Lord, as Ray Street Baptist Church, dear God, to glorify you, to praise you, to honor you, to magnify you, to lift you up. Lord, that we would bring pleasure to you, as it states there in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. God, for these things we were created, dear God. We didn't create ourselves. Lord, you have given us life. Lord, you give us the very air we breathe right now, dear God. Lord, you're the one that keeps our heart beating and not we ourselves. Lord, help us to think about these things, dear God. Lord, if there's some individual here tonight that thinks I'm crazy, Lord, and has no idea what I'm talking about, Lord, I pray you'd open their eyes and help them to see the truth contained in your word. Lord, true biblical Bible salvation. Lord, help us to walk with you. Help us to glorify you, Lord. And Lord, may you just be honored tonight. And Lord, help us as we go forward now this evening. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, brother. We're going to take a little break here for about 5 minutes. And those that would like to say take the Lord's Supper this evening, we'll begin in about another 5 minutes. So take a little break here and then we'll come back and partake of the Lord's Supper. Amen. Mm-hmm.